This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Haney. Fewer college students are carrying credit cards these days after the Credit Card Accountability, Responsibility, and Disclosure Act took effect 4 years ago. The act limited how credit card companies could market their cards on campus. It also put some restrictions on applicants under age 21, and the idea was to reduce credit card debt among young people. While fewer college students have a credit card these days, now it's the debit card, with about 80% of college students carrying one. So how do you navigate the ins and outs of credit and debit cards on campus? Later in the show, in Focus on Technology, Ann Thompson is going to tell us about Major League Baseball's plans for protecting pitchers from head injuries. But first, joining me this afternoon to talk about credit and debit cards on campus are Julie Heath, director of the Economic Center at UC, and Kenneth Webb, director of the Fifth Third Young Bankers Club. You can join the discussion by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Julie and Kenneth, welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Julie, prior to 2009, that's when the CARD Act was created. What was the scope of the problem that led the government to create that act?
Well, the CARD Act was geared toward several populations. One, as you mentioned in your intro, was college students. College students used to arrive on campus to offers of free T-shirts, just coffee mugs, just all kinds of things, if only they would sign up for a credit card. The problem was that with that free T-shirt did not come instruction on how to responsibly manage a credit card. And so credit card debt among college students just soared. So one population that the CARD Act was targeted toward was college students and restricting their access to that easy credit. But also, just in more general terms, the CARD Act's objective was to require clarifying language on credit card offers, on credit card statements. Now we have sections of the credit card statement that has information about, you know, if you only pay the minimum that's due, how long will it take you to pay off the credit card? Since a lot of people felt incorrectly that making the minimum payment was the way to go to quickly pay down their credit card debt. So just the general objective was to increase transparency in terms of what the terms of the credit card were, make the language easier to understand for the layperson. But specifically, as it relates to this discussion, was to significantly limit credit card accessibility among college students.
It's funny you mentioned the free T-shirts, because when my son went off to college back in 08, he calls me. He says, "Hey, Dad, I got this free T-shirt. All I had to do was sign up for this credit card." And he was ecstatic. And we got the card in the mail about 2 weeks later. And it had the credit limit on there, and my son is a sensible kid. He looked at that credit limit. He says, "Is that how much I could run up?" And I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Dad, lock that in your desk drawer. I don't ever want to see it." Right. So at least he was concerned about it, and he was thinking about it. But that is interesting how you mentioned how they used to market that way. That is true, and I think they still can, but they have to be a certain distance from the campus to do it.
And one of the things I want to reiterate is when I was in college, the same thing happened to me as well back in the 90s, back in the Stone Age, so to speak. I got a free T-shirt and a coffee mug or something. It was something like that to get a credit card. And then I didn't understand the ramifications of it as well. And so I think the key to this whole piece is educating the parents as well as other individuals to understand you have rights and responsibilities, but also you have, with that rights and responsibilities, you have an obligation to know the facts. And the facts are that they're not the level of transparency now is more upfront, because before I think that wasn't there in the past, which is, I think, is a great attribute for this particular act.
Well, Julie, what you were talking about, how a lot of students prior to this act had large credit card debt. What were common levels? What were we talking, thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars? What was common for kids?
I think the average, the last number I saw, the average was upwards of 2,000, but significant proportions were in the 5,000 and higher range, with college Wow. students carrying three, four, five credit cards in their wallets. And again, you know, this is I think the CARD Act was a significant piece of legislation, and I think it was definitely needed. But I don't want us to only address the availability. I mean, we also still need to address the education piece of it. You know, just because it's harder to get does not eliminate our responsibility to be teaching our children about what responsible uses of debt are.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's saying that even with the CARD Act, you know, there were still credit cards being marketed, debit cards being marketed. So it's still an issue, and college students still might get into trouble with these, so they need to be educated about it. Let's take this call from Sue Pankanta from Cincinnati. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my call. It's
very
a great
welcome.
Program. Thank you so much. So my question is, it's a little bit linked to the education loan consolidation and refinancing along with the debit card that is available to the students. In my discussion with, you know, some of the young students who are working part-time in Starbucks, et cetera, they don't even know how do you consolidate or refinance the loan. So is there, are the banks looking at giving the debit card and in addition to a refinancing facility so that the payment can happen through the debit card and at the same time, the student can actually use that for refinancing their loans?
Thank you for the question. We appreciate it.
So one of the things that we have established is the Access 360 card, which does that to a certain degree where you can actually – it's a reloadable card, and it's all free. Some companies have reloadable cards, but there's a fee. Anytime you actually put money on the card, there's a fee. This is our own specific actual product that we initiated because we know that there's people – especially at colleges, that need to utilize that, and they utilize it quite often. If I had had a reloadable card when I was in college, I wouldn't be waiting for the post office for the care package every 2 weeks talking about where's the care package at. And as far as the refinance piece, that helps with that as well. And I think it's going to have to be a trend because our student banking product, which is, has no fees and it's a $50 minimum balance, but it has no fees incurred to it because we know that that's the last thing a college student needs is fees because they're trying to pay for their books, trying to pay for room and board, and trying to pay for food. So those are the kind of products that I think now, as well as even mobile banking, where you can actually do all that online with an actual a cell phone or a smartphone or an iPod or whatever iPad or whatever the case might be. And those are the kind of products that I think now that are on the cutting edge of helping clients and our customers be more proficient, especially when they get to the college arena.
And so how does that work with consolidating loans? The caller was asking about how does that help?
Well, as it relates to the loan piece, and then you have it actually tied to the actual card, and then you actually will pay it. When you pay that down, you pay down the actual debt too. So it's almost as everything's tied to the one product.
So credit cards more heavily regulated, fewer students carrying them now. Now it's debit cards that we're seeing, prepaid cards that we're seeing. I've heard the figure about 80% of college students carry one of these. What are some of the things that students need to watch out for with the debit cards? They can still run into some problems with those, I would think.
Go ahead.
lots of problems they can run into with debit cards in terms of timing of things in particular. So students need to understand that when they deposit a check, for example, or when mom and dad make a transfer into their account, that oftentimes it is not instantaneously credited to their account. And so they can't run out and use their debit card and become overdrawn. They have to make sure that the money has hit their account. The other problem that's cropping up on campuses is when colleges and universities use debit cards to load up financial aid.
Mm.
An awful lot of colleges and universities now use debit cards to load up scholarships, grants, federal loans, and students have this idea that because it came from their university, that somehow this is not a business transaction, you know, that it's been fully vetted and all of that kind of thing. And they don't understand that often the case is every single time they swipe that card, they incur some kind of usage fee. If they're overdrawn, they incur a $38 overdraft fee. If they don't use the card for a period of 6 months, they incur a fee. So while the convenience is certainly there to have university financial aid loaded onto a debit card, and, you know, it cuts down on the paper check, you know, that whole thing, the convenience is there, but they just need to be aware that there are significant fees that come with the usage of that card as well.
And didn't the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau start an inquiry into the arrangement between colleges and banks and debit card companies recently?
They did.
And what are they looking into that, into the issues you were just?
It comes back to transparency. I mean, the law is that if a student receives a federal money of any sort, the college or university has to give them an option of receiving a paper check, which is free. No charge, of course. They can go and deposit it in their bank. But a lot of times that option is not presented in the most forthcoming manner. Universities make money off of this. It's a business arrangement. And parents and students just need to understand what all the fees are and how to navigate those fees.
Yeah, so the key thing is to be educated. And when you get that piece of fine print paper, look it over. Don't just pitch it in the garbage
can. Exactly.
Right. And one of the things I would always, talking about education and understanding responsibility, the product that I was talking about earlier, the Access 360 card, is that it's no NSF fees on it because you can only spend what you have. And so therefore, and a lot of times what happens with debit cards is people, they opt out of that particular product where you give people an opportunity to say, okay, either I can have my card and it be overdrawn or whatever the case might be. But the situation is this, is that once I spend over my limit, then there's going to be a fee incurred. And so it not only has to be responsibility, but it also has to be discipline on the part of the consumer to understand their roles and responsibilities.
After the break, we'll continue our conversation about debit and credit cards on campus, and you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100 by emailing talk@wvxu.org or finding us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.